I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Breaking news overnight, a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas is still in place, but there is, at the very least, a new delay this morning that everyone is trying to get a better handle on what it really means. Here's what we know at this hour. Israel's cabinet needs to vote to ratify the deal. That has not happened as it was expected to. Israel delayed it, citing last-minute issues. Again, what this now means exactly for the phased-in ceasefire and hostage deal, it's unclear. It's all supposed to begin on Sunday. Under the deal, Hamas has agreed to release 33 hostages in the first phase. Israel agreed to release 1,000-plus Palestinian prisoners, all of that resulting in a 42-day ceasefire with hopes it leads to a permanent one.
Well, that would be very unlikely there will be a permanent peace, but it would at least be an ending peace. If some of this can still go through. All this began to break late yesterday. And all through this day, there have been things going back and forth, back and forth. And I'll tell you right now, even if I could clearly, definitive say, it is a done deal. All the hostages will be released, and everything will come to a halt in fighting in the Gaza Strip. The very next second, it could change again. That's how fluid this is. There's just no way to pin it down until it's actually done. You can talk, you can bluster, you can saber rattle, but the bottom line is, what are your final actions? And I'll remind you of the hostages that were still being held, included some children, one a baby, not even old enough to talk, and a couple of young people. We'll break it down in more detail for you. Here we are, January 16, 2025. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you right here on Newstalk STL, Monday through Friday. And reminding you, while we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch by going to Rumble at Newstalk STL, or Newstalk STL Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And when we complete each program, video and audio go up as podcast, so you can watch and or listen when it fits your schedule better. How do you do that? You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, our Newstalk STL podcast, or Larry Connors USA Facebook. Earlier today, President Trump appearing on the Dan Bongino program. I hope you got a chance to hear it. We'll give you a few details on it if we can as we go through the next 2 hours. I've got a lot of information here that we're going to try to get out, and it continues. I feel like I'm in basically sand that just keeps moving every time a wave comes across it. You know how you can kind of lose your footing? Because that's how fluid all of this is right now. But I'll give you a report from CNN that they filed earlier today on how they are trying and hopefully preparing for what will happen.
Hospitals have been on standby and ready to receive those hostages. In terms of the politics of it all, Prime Minister Netanyahu is facing a lot of headwinds, as we've been reporting now for months, from the far-right elements specifically of his government, of his coalition, who do not want to agree to a deal under these terms. What the latest we have is that Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich has said that his party would agree to stay with the coalition through phase one of the deal, that is the release of those 33 hostages and the pause in fighting, only if the fighting would be allowed to proceed again after phase one. So there you just get a sense of how fluid and fragile this deal is right now. But Kate, when it comes to the hostages coming home in phase one, as you noted, it would be the women, it would be children, it would be men over the age of 50 and those who are critically wounded.
And that would also include three or four women who were members of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. They were also captured. They were civilians, when they were captured, but everybody in Israel, if they're capable, they serve in the IDF. But they were among civilian casualties when they were captured. At some point, they began to realize they have some IDF soldiers in their midst. And I mentioned the babies earlier. I say babies, one baby, and two might be 8 to 12 years old. It's still unclear. So the first phase would be releasing some of them. And in exchange, Israel would be releasing some 81 Palestinians or so. And then the third phase would begin Sunday, and that would involve more details and a timeline. Again, everything's unclear. Everything is unclear, even as I speak. And just today, Israeli airstrikes hit Gaza again, causing the highest death toll in a week, in over a week. And as you heard from that CNN report, there are those on the right in the Israeli parliament, which supposedly will be voting on this tomorrow, that they want to make sure that once we have all the hostages back, we still go in and bomb the hell out of Hamas and destroy every one of them. You see how fragile that is? I've got a guest coming up in the next segment, Fred Flights. We've had Fred on numerous times before. He's the vice chair of the American First Policy Institute Center for American Security, 25-plus years, CIA and Department of Homeland Intel, Congressional Intel. And he'll give us his latest assessment, again, based on what we have now, which could change the very next second. The Senate confirmation hearings, of course, continuing today for Trump's nominees. Questions, obviously, are always really aimed at Trump. Maybe, are you going to consider weaponizing, as in reference Pam Bondi, would you weaponize the Attorney General's office? How hypocritical can you be that the Democrats would ask a question like that after what we've seen A.G. Merrick Garland do during the Biden administration over the last 4 years? But they ask it anyway. And then you got California Senator Adam Schiff. He's the attack dog primarily for them. And again, going after Trump's AG nominee, Pam Bondi.
You investigate Jack Smith.
Senator, I haven't seen the file. I haven't seen the investigation. I haven't looked at anything. It would be irresponsible of me to make a commitment regarding anything without you're a long practicing attorney, without looking at a file.
So you would need a factual you would need a factual predicate to open an investigation of Jack Smith, is that right?
Not a summary by you sitting here. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a different simple question. The president also wants to jail Liz Cheney. Sitting here today, are you aware of any factual basis to investigate Liz Cheney? Yes or no?
Senator, that's a hypothetical, and I'm not going to answer that.
No, it's not hypothetical. I'm asking you, sitting here today, whether you are aware of a factual predicate to investigate Liz Cheney.
Senator, no one has asked me to investigate Liz Cheney. That is a hypothetical.
The president has called for it publicly. You are aware of that, aren't you?
No one has asked me to investigate.
But the president
has. We're also worried about Liz Cheney, Senator.
The president has called
for this. You know what we should be worried about?
Ms. Bondi, please answer my questions.
The crime rate in California right now is through the roof.
Donald Trump, you lost the 2020 election. Can you tell us that here today?
Senator, what I can tell you is I will never play politics. You're trying to engage me in a gotcha. I won't do it. I won't play politics with any ongoing investigation, like you did leaking your colleague Devin Nunes' memo.
And she also fired back at him. You need to realize if you want to deal with crime and issues, look at your own state, 87% increase in crime. Why don't you consider dealing with that? Wouldn't you want the AG attorney to step in and help where we can? Oh, but we're afraid you're going to try to recreate, you know, dishonesty in the elections, which they did, right? Well, here came Illinois Senator Durbin to also join in.
Most Americans believe that central to the peaceful transition of power in a democracy is the acceptance of the results of an election. To my knowledge, Donald Trump has never acknowledged the legal results of the 2020 election. Are you prepared to say today under oath without reservation that Donald Trump lost the presidential contest to Joe Biden in 2020?
Ranking Member Durbin, President Biden is the President of the United States. He was duly sworn in, and he is the President of the United States. There was a peaceful transition of power. President Trump left office and was overwhelmingly elected in 2024.
Do you have any doubts that Joe Biden had the majority of votes, electoral votes, necessary to be elected president in 2020?
You know, Senator, all I can tell you as a prosecutor is from my firsthand experience. And I accept the results. I accept, of course, that Joe Biden is president of the United States. But what I can tell you is what I saw firsthand when I went to Pennsylvania as an advocate for the campaign. I was an advocate for the campaign, and I was on the ground in Pennsylvania, and I saw many things there.
She saw many things that were not legal and possibly criminal, but they didn't want to push that issue anymore. Whoa. She's actually been there. She's investigated some of these cases. Let's back off of that. Let's deal with the January 6th defendants and all of that. Durbin again.
Do you believe that the January 6th rioters who've been convicted of violent assaults on police officers should be pardoned?
Senator, if confirmed as Attorney General of the United States, the pardons, of course, fall under the president. But if asked to look at those cases, I will look at each case and advise on a case-by-case basis, just as I did my entire career as a prosecutor.
Is that so hard to understand, saying I'm not going to make a decision here and we're going to look at them on a case-by-case basis? And then we got into a situation where you've got Adam Schiff, who thinks he's so special now that he is a California senator. And remember, someone had been appointed to fulfill the seat because the existing Senator Feinbaum was no longer capable. And then they decided, let's kick this guy out and go ahead and put Adam Schiff in right away. So again, he's acting like the attack dog. And he had indicated, I'm going to give you some homework to do that you should do, and you'll be ready when you come back the next day. That did not go well with Pam Bondi.
Senator, you were speaking. May I speak? You cut me off when I was speaking.
I want to ask you the next question. You can speak, and I hope you answer, Ms. Bondi.
Well, I'd like to answer the previous one, Senator.
When we met yesterday,
you pointed your finger at me and said
you
were speaking.
You did not seem to be familiar.
Let me answer my question. I'm not going to be bullied by you, Senator
Padilla. The 14th Amendment of the United States of America, which was deeply disappointing.
I guess you didn't want to hear my answer about Pennsylvania.
After I gave an opportunity to study overnight. So can you tell me in this committee what the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment says? Oh.
Senator, I'm here to answer your questions. I'm not here to do your homework and study for you. If I'm confirmed as
Attorney
General.
You're the one asking for a confirmation vote,
ma'am.
Hey,
you cut me off. Can I please finish?
What does the 14th Amendment say?
Senator, the 14th Amendment, we all know, addresses birthright citizenship. I've been a state prosecutor. I've been a state AG. I look forward to, even given your remarks today, working with you and the people of California if I am confirmed as the 87th Attorney General of the United States of America. I didn't take your homework assignment. I'm sorry. I was preparing for today.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And she's been back in front of the confirmation hearings today. They picked the wrong tiger to mess with, don't you think? And really showing how stupid they were. She didn't have to do her homework on what the 14th Amendment is. But that was simply showmanship by Adam Schiff. I gave you homework. I gave you time to find out what the 14th Amendment is. She's been an attorney general for years. She worked in law, constitutional law, long before that. She didn't have to do, quote, study and do your homework for you, as she pointed out. And we have another one that was facing confirmation. It is still facing confirmation in the seats today in his committee. John Ratcliffe appointed to head up the CIA.
In 2020, when a chairman of an intelligence committee misrepresented that a laptop owned by then-candidate Biden's son was somehow a Russian intelligence operation, and 51 former intelligence officials used the imprimatur of IC authority to go along with that, I stood in the breach. I stood alone and told the American people the truth about that. So I think my record in terms of speaking truth to power and defending the intelligence community and its good work is very clear. And what I can assure you is those types of instances, if I'm in that position as CIA director and have to do that again, as uncomfortable as that can be, to be accused, you know, the truth will ultimately defend itself. And I think that that intelligence will as well.
And there were not a lot of follow-ups on what he said, reference that Hunter Biden laptop. Oh, can we just forget that? Let's break for ice cream or something. John Ratcliffe making his points made. We have Scott Turner, the nominee head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, testifying earlier today. Doug Burgum for the Senate Energy and National Resources. And again, the character witness is testifying today on Pam Bondi's Justice Department appointment. Scott Bessent, Trump's Treasury Secretary nominee, also testifying today. All of these underway, and they need to be done. In fact, the Republicans want them done. They want to rush them through. They want to have them ready to go come next Monday. Trump's plan is to sign, as soon as he takes the oath of office, to go over to the Senate and sign the confirmation for each of his cabinet appointees. So I'm glad they're moving forward, moving quickly. They're not going to do this in piecemeal fashion if they can. He's going to have every major cabinet position loaded up before he even walks up to take the oath of office. We're going to get more from Ratcliffe later on how he sees the CIA being used as to what it should be doing for the American people. Also, more information on the other hearings that will also be coming up in our second hour. But up next, this Israeli-Hamas ceasefire, the exchange of the prisoners, and basically getting the hostages free from Hamas. Lord, we all want it, but will it really happen? And when it happens in stages, any stage could shut down. Fred Flights will help break down the details for us. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Ackerman Toyota is number one in sales for 2024. That is 2 years in a row. It's really no surprise. Ackerman has the largest customer lounge where you can relax, take your time choosing new or premium pre-owned. Ackerman at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one 2 years in a row. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So late yesterday came word that Israel and Hamas had an agreement to release the hostages and all the fighting would stop. I questioned it then, I question it now, and we will continue. And just last night, Israeli airstrikes hit Gaza again, causing the highest death toll in over a week. Joining us to try to help separate out all of this is Fred Flights, 25 years National Intel, Vice Chair of the American First Policy Institute Center for American Security. Fred, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
So when you first heard the word circulating late yesterday, we have a deal, we have a deal, what went through your mind?
Well, I thought there'd be a deal that would be very controversial, that involved significant concessions on both sides. I think President Trump's election created enormous pressure on both sides, especially Hamas, to agree to something. Hamas made a key concession that it would allow Israeli troops to remain in Gaza as this agreement proceeded. They wouldn't have to completely withdraw at the beginning. They've never made that concession before. That is only because of President Trump. Don't believe others are saying that this was something Biden did. He didn't do it.
Oh, yeah. He's going to claim credit. He's already said, through my team and our work, we've gotten to this point to turn it over to Trump.
But you've probably seen people say, Larry, that this is a bad deal and this is a win for Hamas. But it's more complicated than that. Yes, Israel will probably have to release far more prisoners than they're going to get back. Maybe 1,000 prisoners for maybe 98 hostages, and some of them are dead.
Sure.
But for Israel, the priority is saving human life, saving the lives of Israeli citizens. And Netanyahu is willing to pay that price to save the lives of these hostages. There's no easy way to do it, and he's made this decision. I think it's the right decision.
And he also has inside the parliament, he's got the right-wing members that basically are saying that, yeah, you are giving up too much. And so he's got the inner fighting inside his own country.
That's right. And it goes to the issue I mentioned, and it also goes to the issue that Israel should not end the war against Hamas until Hamas is defeated. Now, the war is not necessarily going to end with this agreement. It's a three-stage agreement. Israel's supposed to pull out all troops in the second phase. If Hamas does not comply with the agreement, the war will resume. The war may resume anyway.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how far each side wants to go with it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything. Like I said, whatever we say right this moment could change the next second.
Well, I mean, there's been some obstacles to the agreement to get the Israeli parliament and the Israeli court to approve it. And I mean, it's a hard thing to do because the compromises are that severe. And Hamas has never negotiated in good faith, and it isn't a surprise at the last minute they started quibbling to get better deals and to back away from something that they committed to. I do think they're afraid of President Trump. They have been severely isolated by Israel to Hezbollah and to Syria and to Iran. I think a deal is in the offing. It may not be as soon as it appeared in the middle of this week.
Yeah, and in fact, if the three parts that are set in place now, if there's no change by tomorrow, supposedly the Israeli parliament, cabinet, I should say, will vote on it. Correct?
I think that's right. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me at the last minute that Hamas tried to negotiate the deal. They've never negotiated in good faith. They believe that Israel will always be blamed for any delay, that they won't be held accountable. And if you read the news this week, you can see that's exactly what's happening. Israel raised objections to Hamas dragging its feet, but Israel's being accused of blocking the deal.
I want to ask you your response. This is a guest I had on yesterday, Kenneth Abramowitz, who's author of the War, and I don't have a full title here, The War We're All Fighting. And he said he thinks that Trump was doing a deal with Hamas first and pressuring Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, to yield more than he should have. Your take?
I know Ken, great guy, and I know a number of American experts on this issue, supportive of Israel, who believe that Israel will have to pay a painful price to get these hostages back. But you may remember, Larry, a few years ago that the Israeli government traded 1,000 Palestinian prisoners to free one IDF soldier.
Right.
That's how much Israel values human life and supports its soldiers. So the transfer here would not be that big a ratio, but it's going to be a painful ratio.
So if those who believe that say that Trump should be pushing Hamas harder than he's pushing that. And let me put it this way. They feel still that he is pushing Netanyahu harder than he's pushing Hamas leadership.
That's just not true, because the key concession was made by Hamas to allow the agreement to go forward.
Now, the discussions have been continuing in Qatar again. Explain again how all this is happening in Qatar. And you've got various Hamas leaders living a life of luxury while Gaza's ruins.
I believe that they were living a life of luxury in Qatar hotels. I believe they were pushed out in large part because the Trump campaign was complaining that Qatar was hosting them there. So I don't know where they're living now. They may be in Qatar temporarily. I think these leaders moved to Turkey, and there's leaders from Qatar. There's leaders from Egypt. There is Steve Witkoff, who is a good friend of President Trump, who will be a special envoy for the Middle East. There's special envoys from the Biden administration, and then there's representatives from Hamas and Israel, although the Israeli and Hamas representatives do not meet in the same room. It's indirect meetings.
Well, let me get your take. Outgoing Secretary of State Blinken says he thinks Rubio is fully qualified for the job.
I think he is. I think he was an extraordinary pick.
And that's going to be very clear. Ratcliffe for the CIA, we need to know what is happening over there on a constant basis. So you do believe the Trump effect is happening even before he takes the oath of office?
I just think the perception of strong American leadership, and well, I'll give you an example. I was doing an interview on Sky News Arabia. It's an Arab TV station. And the interviewer said to me, "We hear that Donald Trump is thinking of using military force to take Greenland. Do you think he may use military force to take other nations with mineral and energy resources?" Now, of course, he's not going to do that. But the perception of a strong and decisive president, it's going around the world, and it's affecting global security.
Yeah, and to that extent, I mean, the same thing with Panama Canal. And he was asked, "Would you use it?" And he said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you what I will or won't do. I won't rule anything out." I mean, that's just negotiating. I mean, that's what the guy does. But again, it does show strength, right?
To be wondering.
Yeah. Is it good or bad?
Pull something.
Yeah. Now, what about Iran as they're watching? You're aware that Iran suddenly decided, hey, we're willing to send 150 Iranians to help fight the fires in L.A. I don't want them in our country, but the very fact that they even offer that sounds to me like they're trying, can we find some common ground to make peace with America before Trump takes the oath?
I hadn't heard that, but I believe the Iranian government will go through the motions wanting to make peace with Trump, but they didn't want to do that last time. I'm hoping the pressure is much higher on them now after the two Israeli bombings, I think, humiliated the Iranian government. But, you know, Trump's position is he wants to help the Iranians. He doesn't just want to go out like my former boss, John Bolton, wanted to do and bomb them. He wants to engage in diplomacy and use every measure of diplomacy short of war before he has to use military action.
Which sounds more than reasonable. And in fact, Iran has, although it threatened to continue to fire on Israel, once Trump had won the election, they haven't done anything.
I think that's true, but I also think they were worried about Israeli retaliation. They were shown to be extremely vulnerable by the last Israeli attack. And I think even if Trump had lost, the Iranians would have backed down.
So we will have to see how all this begins to shake out. But even if they get all of this done as originally proposed, can you say a permanent ceasefire exists in the Middle East?
There is a very fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, but it seems to be holding. And I hope there will be a long-term and maybe permanent ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. We're not there yet, and I think it's going to be a long road to get one.
All right. Well, from your lips to God's ear, Fred Flights, I want to thank you for your time as always, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Fred Flights, Vice Chair of the American First Policy Institute Center for American Security. On my social pages today, I'll put up ways you can follow him and check in with him on Twitter and things of that nature. These talks, as they begin to try to go through them, and I'm continually watching for any really true updates, most of them end up being rewrites of what we've already got. And even when one does come down that says, well, we've got this done. Well, I don't know that it's done until it is done. And part of the deal is going to involve getting more humanitarian aid into Gaza. And now a UN humanitarian official says, we're worried about gangs disrupting the aid trucks, stealing before they can get to the people that need them. We'll see how that shakes up as well. Coming up, the latest on the L.A. fires. Yes, they continue, but there's a bit of good news. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Want a special gift for someone who enjoys a good cigar or premium whiskey? Head for Lit Cigar Lounge in the district of Chesterfield Valley. You'll also find amazing, unusual lighters and ashtrays. You can't decide? Get a gift card. When you finish, walk a few doors down and enjoy Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. The pizza baked in a coal-fired oven. Select from the menu or design your own. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most five-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The red flag warning also expired yesterday, and those Santa Ana winds are expected to remain calm through the weekend.
Here are the latest numbers for the Palisades fire. It's now 22% contained. More than 23,000 acres have burned. Crews spent much of the day working on the western edge of the fire using infrared technology to isolate those hot spots. More than 3,200 structures have either been damaged or destroyed. 9 people now confirmed dead in this fire.
On to the Eaton fire, which has charred more than 14,000 acres since last Tuesday. The fire is 55% contained. Nearly 6,000 structures have been damaged or destroyed, and the death toll from the Eaton fire now stands at 16. But finally, the weather is actually working in our favor. It's working with us instead of against us.
In other words, the Santa Ana winds are dying down. An L.A. area might get some rain, maybe, late tonight, maybe some for tomorrow. Won't be much, but anything would be welcome at this point. Now, that's an L.A. station report on the fire in the Palisades, the one in Eaton, and there are other fires spread around. All the fires combined, at last check, 40,000 square miles destroyed. That's the size of Paris. The death count, 25 minimum, and probably going to be double that once they get into some of the areas. And some of the things they have found are just heartbreaking. They find an amputee still in his bed. He didn't have any way to get help. I guess no phone line. No one could get to him. They find another man dead in his yard, still holding his garden hose, trying to keep the flames off of his house and around him. And I'm going to bring up something else, and I don't want it to overshadow, but it is still important. There are a lot of animals, pets and so forth, that got caught in there. Anytime you have a wildfire in the wild, you often have animals killed, obviously. In this case, this is sweeping through residential areas where most every home has at least one dog or a cat, and if they couldn't get them out or get back home to get them out, yeah, they're also among, quote, the casualties. Insurance costs originally estimated at $150 billion. Now they're saying north of $200, maybe $250 billion. And, of course, you have the vultures. That would include looters trying to get inside some of the areas and find what they can that might still be valuable. The L.A. sheriff and city police and others say they're cracking down to make sure they don't get in and out like that. And, of course, then you still have those that might be accused of arson, setting fire. Some of them caught on video. Some caught on cell phone video by residents. Some caught on Ring Bell cameras on your door. And some caught by city or county cameras. Who would want to set a fire like that and knowing that you could endanger people, much less destroy what they have? By the way, the one arson suspect that was caught by citizens, he's had a blowtorch in his hand. It turns out that he's had multiple encounters with law enforcement. There's another example of the George Soros-type approach to law and justice. No law and certainly no justice. Book them in, release them, often without bail or low bail. And residents are certainly turning against Mayor Karen Bass, the L.A. mayor, and they're going to be against the Governor Newsom as well. But there's a new survey by Rasmussen showing that Bass is underwater with voters. Only 42% approve of her and 44% disapprove. This was taken of something like 800 likely voters in Los Angeles County. It's no surprise after what's happened, and keep in mind, it has nothing to do with party loyalty. It's the fact that folks were suffering on both sides. That fire did not recognize, is this a red house or a blue house? Overall, the state is blue, so majority probably would have been blue. And then that picture came out showing her enjoying cocktails at the U.S. ambassador's residence in Ghana while her city was burning. And then you've got shaking Governor Newsom out there trying to talk to reporters and kind of, I don't know if he's auditioning for a dance move or what he's doing, but can't seem to hold steady. I don't know if he's hyped up on medication, shall I say. He's not instilling any great faith in these people, but what they all want to do is say, you know, really climate change created this. It happened because they were doing poor forest management. And they were told 8+ years ago when they had another big fire, you need to clean out the underbrush in, one, your forest areas and around your homes and residential areas, and you need to get rid of the dead trees, or you're asking for it. Normally these fires would be started by a lightning strike, but there have been no storm. High winds, you blow down some of these power lines, they could spark. That might have caused some. And then we've got, obviously, evidence of arsonist behind it. Whether they'll all be caught, prosecuted, who knows. But speaking about crime in the Los Angeles area and California in general, Pam Bondi serving again today as one of the witnesses trying to get her nomination through. They wanted her back a second day so they could continue to try to grill her, which is interesting. They didn't bring Hegseth back a second day. So they're trying to put all their power into destroying the incoming attorney general for Trump, Pam Bondi. She's been an attorney general in Florida, and she's being attacked by Adam Schiff and Dick Durbin, and she's standing her ground.
I'm asking you, sitting here today, whether you are aware of a factual predicate to investigate Liz Cheney.
Senator, no one has asked me to investigate Liz Cheney. That is a hypothetical.
President has called for it publicly. You are aware of that, aren't you?
No one has asked me to investigate.
But the president
Liz,
has
we're
called,
also worried about Liz Cheney,
the
Senator.
President has
you know what we
this,
should be worried about?
Ms. Bondi,
the
please
crime
answer
rate
my
in
questions.
California right now
you
is
are aware,
the roof.
Ms. Bondi,
your
my,
robberies
Ms.
Bondi, are 87%
question,
higher than the national
my question
average.
Is this.
That's what I
my
want to be focused
this.
On, Senator.
Do you have the power to say no to the president?
General.
Your robberies are 87% higher than the rest of the U.S. Why don't you consider dealing with that instead of trying to mock up charges against me? We got a lot more to deal with concerning Pam Bondi and J6ers, because that's another issue they were pushing. Last night, I told you in our program last night during the first hour, I said some of you might not be listening or watching my second hour because you want to watch Joe Biden make his final speech from the Oval Office, which he was doing at the beginning of my second hour. How many of you switched over to watch Joe Biden and abandoned me? I don't think many of you did. You didn't even care what he had to say, even if you're reading it now. But, one, out of deference to his position, and out of deference to some of the stupidity he's still claiming, we're going to let you hear some of it. So, if you missed it, I'm going to share highlights with you. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. So add that to Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and don't forget about Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, plus now, open, Napoli, Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This will be my final address to you from the American people from the Oval Office, from this desk as president. And I've been thinking a lot about who we are, and maybe more importantly, who we should be. Long ago, in New York Harbor, an iron worker installed beam after beam, day after day. He was joined by steel workers, stonemasons, engineers. They built not just a single structure, but a beacon of freedom. The very idea of America was so big, we felt the entire world needed to see. The Statue of Liberty, a gift from France after our Civil War. Like the very idea of America, it was built not by one person, but by many people, from every background and from around the world. Like America, the Statue of Liberty is not standing still. Her foot literally steps forward atop a broken chain of human bondage. She's on the march, and she literally moves. She was built to sway back and forth to withstand the fury of stormy weather, to stand the test of time because storms are always coming. She sways a few inches, but she never falls into the current below.
And that's a very graphic description of the Statue of Liberty. He's got a couple of facts wrong inside of what he said. But the bottom line is, it is a symbol. And imagine those immigrants who came to our country escaping Nazis and other horrific things in, around the world. Plus, they wanted a chance to have freedom where they didn't have it in their countries, worship or whatever they wanted. How magnificent that lady looked to them as they arrived. And it's still standing. And does stand for the beacon of hope for the rest of the nation and the world. But Joe Biden, while he gave great tribute to what Statue of Liberty stands for, his last 4 years have been anything but what she stands for. And he had to add these remarks.
Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power. Meanwhile, artificial intelligence is the most consequential technology of our time, perhaps of all time. Nothing offers more profound possibilities and risk for our economy and our security, our society, for humanity.
And how dare he say they're not going to do the fact-checking. They were under the thumb of the Biden administration. Mark Zuckerberg had made it very clear that, yes, Facebook, now Meta, he said, we were being told what we could put in and what we shouldn't put in. There's your censorship, Joe Biden, and you are behind it. And because Mark Zuckerberg is now coming out and saying, we need to have more masculinity. One of his leading lawyers in his Meta case, in an AI copyright case, a Stanford law professor, said, I'm dropping that company as a client because they're descending into toxic masculinity and neo-Nazi madness. You cannot be a man, in their viewpoint, unless you're going to be a neo-Nazi and you're toxic in your masculinity. And while Biden was going on and on about, you know, they're not even going to do fact-checking, who knows what lies and misinformation you're going to get, let me remind you what he did just the other day, 2 weeks ago. George Soros standing in front of Biden, and Biden putting the Medal of Freedom around the neck of that billionaire Democrat donor. He called him an investor, a philanthropist, founder of the Open Society Foundation. George Soros wants to destroy America as we know it. Because if you're talking about dark money is being dangerous, a threat to democracy, and a lack of fact-checking could lead to more troubles, George Soros is right there with you to make sure it's carried out. He was doing the bidding of Joe Biden and all the other progressives. And there is a very strange and constant and consistent hypocrisy that exists. Congressman Byron Donalds points that out.
We have an awesome people. We have a terrific message. And let's just be honest. We are right, and the Democrats are just crazy and wrong.
They're crazy and wrong on a consistent basis. Well, it's beginning to blow up in their face. The mandate given Trump, and not only putting him in the Oval Office, but control of the House and the Senate, says, you guys have been on the wrong track, and we're going to try to get back And we are going to make America greater than it was. It's going to take some time, but we have a leader, we have a commander in chief, and when he says something, he means it. Biden doesn't know half the time what he says anyway. And we all cannot wait for our January 20. And can continue to keep Trump and his supporters in your prayers. In our next hour, we're going to take an additional look at some of these nominees that he wants on his cabinet. And, of course, the backlash. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.